The Baal HaTanya one time came to visit his Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezritch. And he comes to his Rebbe's door, his Rebbe who knew him very, very well. And the Baal HaTanya knocks on the door, and the Maggid comes to the door and he says, "Who is it?" So he says, "Ich." The Baal HaTanya says, "Ich, it's I. It's me. Who? Ich. Who? Ich. Who is it? Schneer Zalman. Oh, Schneer Zalman, why didn't you say so?" He opens the door and he invites in his beloved Talmud, the Baal HaTanya, or Schneer Zalman of Liadi. And he says, "Oh, I'm so happy you showed up just in time. It's such unbelievable hashkacha that you just happened to show up. Because, you know, I'm supposed to be somewhere tomorrow for a bris in a neighboring town and I can't go. And I was hoping that maybe you could help me out. Could you go as my shliach?" "So, of course." You know, the Rebbe asks the Talmud to go as a shliach. "Of course, I'm happy to go." So he's not sure exactly what the story is, why his Rebbe's going to this bris, but the Baal HaTanya goes on behalf of his Rebbe to the bris. Okay. And he's an outsider there. No one knows exactly who he is. It's a little bit unclear who he is. He's trying to maintain a low identity, but he's sitting there. He's there. He says, "Mazel Tov," on behalf of the Maggid. No one knows who this fellow is. And at some point, you know, again, I don't know how a bris worked back in the day, but at some point, the caterer calls out. He says, "Hold on, no one go anywhere." At the end of the Suda, at the end of the bris, "No one go anywhere. Whoa, what's wrong? Someone stole a piece of the silverware. So everyone starts looking around the room, and they start looking at the Baal HaTanya. He's the outsider. I don't know who this guy is. So the caterer looks at him and says, "Who's that guy?" "I don't know." So he says, you stole my silver. Give me that." He's ready to grab him and search his pocket. You stole a silver. You stole a fork." So the Baal HaTanya says, "Me? Ich bin nicht der Ganov. I'm not a thief." So he says, "Yeah, no, it's you. It must be you. It has to be you. No one else, we know everyone else here. It has to be you. Ich bin nicht der Ganov. Finally, one of the waiters comes out of the kitchen or whatever and says, "Oh, we found the missing fork. Don't worry, it's here. Everything's accounted for." The Baal HaTanya is all embarrassed, and he comes back to his Rebbe. He comes back to the Maggid. He tells him this whole strange story. "I went as your shliach, and I got accused of being a thief, and thankfully everything worked out in the end." And the Maggid says to him, he says, "Remember when you came to my door yesterday? Remember when you first showed up? And I said, 'Who's at the door?' And you said, 'Ich.' And I said, 'Who in this world?' A Jew says 'Ich,' he has to also say 'Ich bin nicht,' I am not. So you said three times by my door, 'Ich, ich, ich.' So I knew you'd have to go there to say three times, 'Ich bin nicht, Agana, ich bin nicht,' three times, 'I am not.'" Now, the last number of weeks, I think many of us feel that it's been a very humbling experience. And every person in their own way, there's different ways that we feel it. But for all the times that we were a little too confident in life, a little bit too conceited, a little bit too comfortable, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it all away and made us humbly stand before Him and say, "Ich bin nicht. I'm not the Baal HaBas. I'm not in charge." We see how fragile our health can be. We see how fragile our businesses can be. We see how fragile our ruchnias can be. How dependent we are upon going to shul to maintain some type of normalcy in our davening, dependent upon our community, and those are good things. But we've seen in a very, very clear way that kochi va'otzim yadi only goes so far. There's only so far a person can go with an ich. And for every time a person says ich, he has to say, "Ich bin nish, I am not." Someone told me this week, and in trying to decide which Mishnah we should learn from Pirkei Avos this week, the Shabbos, Emir Tzashem, is the third parak of Avos, someone said to me this week that they're feeling very, very frustrated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they feel that Hashem is always out to get them, and nothing ever works out for them. And it got me thinking. It really got me thinking. You know, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu owe us, if anything at all? What should we expect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives? So you'll say, well, on the one hand, Hashem created us. I never asked to exist. So, you know, God, you made me, so now you have to deal with me. About a year ago, one of my friends shared with me a news piece. It was on Fox News. It's wacky, it's wild, it's totally crazy. A 27-year-old Indian man is going viral after he announced an intent to sue his parents, claiming he didn't give explicit consent to bring him into the world. He's suing his parents. I never gave you permission to give birth to me. Rafael Samuel said in a YouTube video posted on Tuesday that he's suing his parents because he was conceived without his consent, and therefore his parents should pay for his life. That's a good svara, no? I didn't ask for any of this. Hashem, I never asked to exist. And he said in his video, "I want everyone in India and the world to realize one thing, that they are born without their consent. I want them to understand that they do not owe their parents anything. Right, there goes Kibud Av V'Em, and there goes the first mitzvah of the Torah, Pru Revo. If we are born without our consent, we should be maintained for our life. We should be paid by our parents to live. To children, I would like to say, do not do anything for your parents if you do not want to. If you want to, if you truly, genuinely feel like doing it, then do it, he added. Samuel has been reported as a follower of antinatalism, an increasingly popular yet bizarre ideology that believes that it is morally wrong for people to procreate. It takes a nihilistic approach towards human life, saying that humanity brings only suffering. That's a real pick-me-up, you know, at the end of a long week, right? But is there truth to it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never asked to be born. I never asked to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you owe me. You owe me health. You owe me parnasa. You owe me lots of things. Rabbono Shalom, I never asked for any of this. We could have such a taina. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to a 27-year-old Indian man or to those of us, or to my friend who I was speaking to this week, who was feeling frustrated that Hashem, you know, Hashem's not taking care of him. He doesn't feel taken care of by Hashem. So I think part of the response is really from next week's Pirkei Avos in Perek Dalet. In Perek Dalet, it says in Pirkei Avos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, I'll paraphrase it in two words, too bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tough luck. It says in Pirkei Avos in the fourth Perek, Sha'al karchacha ata noitzar, against your will you were conceived, Val karchacha ata nolad, and against your will you were born. Val karcha ata chai, and against your will you must live. Val karcha ata meis, and against your will you will die. Val karchacha ata osid litein din vechesbon lifnei melech malchei amlochem akadosh baruch hu. And whether you like it or not, you're going to have to answer for the choices you made in your life. So Akadosh Baruch Hu's response is too bad, too bad, too bad, and too bad. You didn't ask to be born, you never asked to live, you never asked to die, but now you're in the game, you woke up one day and you're playing the game, and there's no way out. And obviously with the right approach, with the right attitude, with the right perspective, it's obviously for our benefit. Right? But there's a part of us that feels, I wish I could just, you know, I never signed up for any of this. I didn't sign up for this whole experience. The famous playwright and philosopher Albert Camus passed away in 1960. So he begins one of his famous essays with the line, there's but one truly serious philosophical problem, and that is suicide. And he discusses the possibility, you know what, life is so absurd, speaking like a existentialist philosopher that he was, right? Life is so absurd that I might as well kill myself and find out if God actually exists. Now, of course, he concludes, thankfully, for everyone's benefit, he concludes that that's an absurd reality, that's more absurd than life itself. And therefore we're forced, like it says in Pirkei Avos, the response to Albert Camus in his Myth of Sisyphus is that, no, you can't kill yourself. Al karcha ata chai, al karcha ata meis. You have to play the game. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you, he dropped me into the snake pit, and he threw me down to Olam Hazeh. Do you owe us anything for creating us? And I was thinking about this question this week. This is what I've been thinking about. So I was thinking about it, and I remembered a comment from the Bnei Yisaskar in his writings by Sukkos. The Bnei Yisaskar asks a question. It's really a question the Chida asked, and many have asked, and that is, why is it that we have a sukkah? We commemorate the Anane HaKavod, at least according to one opinion in the Tanayim. But the question is, we had other miracles throughout our history, and we had other miracles at that very point in history that also seemingly should be commemorated. We had the clouds of glory, we had the Anane HaKavod, but we also had the Man, and we also had the Be'er, we had miraculous food, we had miraculous a well of water that provided us with all sorts of drinks, according to some of the commentaries. So what's the pshat that we have a zecher to the Anane HaKavod? We sit in our little huts, we have our holiday of Sukkos, we commemorate the Anane HaKavod. What about the Man? And what about the Be'er? And the Bnei Yisraelar quotes from the Chida, quotes from another Svardi Chacham, Rav Chaim Kafusi, I'm sorry, not familiar with who that is, who says the following answer. The Haman ube'er halohema lechem umayim shehem echrechim l'chai adam. In other words, the Chida is saying, the Bnei Yisraelar is saying that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took us out of Mitzrayim. The food wasn't great in Mitzrayim. Hol achma ani al diachalu avasana ba'arad in Mitzrayim. You know, we ate the bread of affliction. But at least we had food. So Hashem, you took us into the wilderness. Happens to be you gave us gourmet food. You gave us the man. You gave us the be'er. You didn't have to give us that. You could have given us just bread and water. Maybe on a certain level that's what the man and the be'er was. But it's of necessity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to schlep us into the wilderness, so you have to give us food. You can't take nations of thousands, of tens of thousands, into the wilderness and not provide for them. And therefore, the fact that God gave us food, it's expected. You schlep me out into the wilderness, and you're gonna foot the bill. You're gonna, you know, if I'm going on a business trip for my company, so the company's paying for my lunch. That's basic stuff. But says the Bnei Yisachar, but the Anane HaKavod, Hashem didn't have to give us Anane HaKavod. We could have slept under the stars. It didn't rain in the wilderness. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Bnei Yisachar in his writings on Chodesh Tishrei, Maimer Yud, all about the sukkah, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a sukkah, Hashem didn't owe us a sukkah. Food Hashem owed us. He happened to have given us very good food. He gave us very spiritual food. But the Anane HaKavod was a wondrous gift. It was Tosefes Tova. It was a Chiba Yisera, in the words of the Bnei Yisachar. It was something extra. So does Hashem owe us food? So what do we learn from this? Hashem doesn't have to pay my mortgage, but Hashem has to what? Has to give me food and drink? Is that what we learn? He quotes from the Tosfos Yom Tov in the 7th Perek of Meseches Brachos in his commentary on the Mishnayos. Why is it, another amazing question, why is it when we say Birchas HaTorah, we say Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMivorach, and you get called up for an aliyah. Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMivorach. We use Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name of kindness, of compassion. And why is it when we bench, we say Nivarech Elokeinu She'achal Nimishallah. We use Hashem's name of Midas Hadin. And the Tosfos Yom Tov explains, because there's a difference between Torah and food. Anamzem uvuar, says the Tosfos Yom Tov in the 7th parak of Maseches Brachos. Ki amazon hadin nosein lechalchel es bruv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like that Indian man, that 27-year-old Indian man said, you made me, God, you have to feed me. It's reasonable to assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we use the name Elokeinu when we bench, Midas Hadin. God, you owe me food. You gave me life, you have to sustain me. You have to at least, you know, open a soup kitchen so I can have something to eat. Ulafichach tiknu zeh Hashem shu midas hadin. Al pi din, you owe me food, Hashem. But Torah, you don't owe me Torah. Baruch Hu as Hashem hamavorach. And we say Baruch Hu as Hashem said on Torah, lo nitna ele bechasto. The Torah is the great that Hashem did not have to give us, as the Navi Yeshaya says, leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. In His kindness, in His tzedakah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Because where does it say, where is Hashem obligated to explain the way that He chooses to operate? Now you'll say, that's a funny thing to say. I mean, you put us in this world and you have expectations, so at least tell us what the expectations are. You would think Hashem owes us the mitzvahs, at least, the Torah. But says the Tosfos Yom Tov, no, God made you, He owes you food. Nevarech Elokeinu shachal nemisholo. Torah? Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMivorach. That's a complete chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. Hashem doesn't owe anyone Torah. And you know what the proof is? Of the 7.5 billion people on planet Earth, most of them don't have Torah. Hashem never gave them Torah. Harei lo asa kein l'chol ovdei kochavim, shem gam kein bruav. Everyone's a created B'Tselem Elokim. Everyone's part of God's world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the Torah to the whole world. Lafichach tiknu bebirchas HaTorah, shem zeh. So when we thank Hashem for Torah, we say Baruch Hu as Hashem HaMuvorach. Okay, so what are we learning from this piece of Bnei Yisachar? Hashem owes us food, but He doesn't have to pay for our house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us food, but He doesn't owe us Torah. I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know. What does Hashem owe us? Hashem owes us food? Is that even true? I can say confidently, Hashem owes me food. Hashem should at least pay. You don't have to pay my mortgage, but you have to at least what? Give me some food stamps so I can get some milk, some eggs, maybe a loaf of bread. So I want to learn two Mishnayos, two very, very similar Mishnayos, thematically similar. From this Shabbos' Pirkei Avos. Again, it's the 3rd parak of Avos' Shabbos. And I think it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to us as we sometimes become frustrated and we feel, you know, we're entitled to certain things. We expect certain things. After all, it was a certain way for so long and now it's so different. So Hashem, how could you just like take things away from us? So listen to the response of one of the holy Tanaim, Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Tosa. It's in the 3rd parak of Avos. Again, there's different ways to break up the Mishnayos. In some editions, it's Mishnah Zayin, some it's Mishnah Ches. Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Tosa Omer. A very, very simple Mishnah. Tein lo mishalo. Give him, with a capital H, Tein lo mishalo. Give him that which is his. Sha'ata v'shalacha shalo. Give HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatever he wants. If he wants to take it all away, be prepared to give it. You know why? Sha'ata, because you, v'shalacha, and all that you have, shalo, it's his. It's not yours. It never was ours. We may have had a perception it was ours for a long time. Maybe we got a little too comfortable with that. But it was never ours. Tein lo mishalo. Give back to Hashem that which is his. V'chein b'David hu omer, and says Rav Elazar Ish Bar Tosa as a proof text, we find similarly by David HaMelech, it says in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, ki mimcha hakol, it's all from you, u'miyadcha nasanu lach. And from your hand it's been given to us. It's all yours. You gave it to us, Hashem. Which means that if you want it back, it's all yours for the taking. Okay. Talk about practice what you preach. We should stop. We really should stop. I mean, like, we got it. You know, like, Tein lo mishalo, give Hashem everything, and he takes away your internet right as you say that. I think we should call it a night, no? Should I finish this year? I prepared. All right, we'll finish this year. Thanks for sticking around. Let's see, we still have a couple people left. Oh, Baruch Hashem, that's great. All right.
Anyone there?
Yeah, everyone's still here. Baruch Hashem, my wife's worried. Okay, new Tein lo mishalo. If Hashem wants your internet, he takes your internet. Okay, good. So back to the Mishnah. So what does the Mishnah say? Tein lo mishalo. David HaMelech says, Ki mimcha kol u'miyadcha nasnu lach. Okay, that was very real, by the way. I don't know. So what is the Mishnah actually talking about? Tein lo mishalo. So Rav Avadi Mibar Tanura says, and this is how most of Farshim understand, that it's talking about tzedakah. Tein lo mishalo, the Pashup Shat, is money. Right? She'eincha nosein mishalacha. When you give tzedakah, when you give of your money, it's not you giving. Right? And realize the same thing is true when you give of your physical efforts, your bodily efforts for mitzvos. It's not you. Lo migufcha v'lo mimamoncha sha'ata umamoncha shalo. Because you, your body, and your mamon belong entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how many mefarshim understand. They focus it primarily from a monetary standpoint. When Rav Eliezer Gordon, Rav Lazer Telzer, who was the great Rosh Yeshiva and the Rav of Telz in Lithuania, was once collecting tzedakah, so he came to a certain balabais, and he says to this fellow, a wealthy fellow, he says, you know, I'm collecting money for this cause or for that cause. And the fellow said, you know, it's too much money. I don't think I'll be able to help you. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, let me ask you a question. If you don't mind, I'd like to just ask you a question about a Mishnah in Bechoros. Okay. He says, how do we give Meiser Behema? How do we separate Meiser? Meiser means a tenth. How do we give a tenth of our animals? How do we dedicate them? How do we separate them and make them holy? So the Mishnah says in the ninth parak of Bechoros, Ketzad Ma'asrin, how do you separate Meiser Behema? You take all of your animals that were born that year and you gather them into a pen. And you make a small Pesach Katan, a small opening in the pen, to allow them to file out, single file, one by one. Not two at a time, one by one. Yecholim Letzeis Ka'achas. You can't allow Shnayim Sheyecholim Letzeis Ka'achas. Umona b'shevet. And you take a rod in your hand and you start counting. Echad, Shnayim, Shlosha, Arba, Chamisha, Shisha, Shiva, Shmona. You count 1 to 9. And then when you get to the 10th animal, you take that rod which has some red paint on it, right? And you smear it on that one. You say, Harezeh Meiser. This one is separated as Meiser. And then you go again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10th one is Meiser. So Blazer tells her said, Rav Eliezer Gordon of Telz said, why do you have to do it like that? I have a better idea. You know you have 1,000 animals. You know that 1,000, 10% would be 100 animals. So take 100 animals and say, Hareza Meiser. Why do I have to go through this laborious process of gathering them all together and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, every 10th one has to be Meiser? So Blazer Gordon said, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of saying that if I were to ask you to take from your 1,000 animals, to take 100, to cut off 100 animals and to give such a large chunk to Hashem at once, it would seem like a lot. God, you're asking a lot from me. But Hashem says, I want you to count like this. 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 5 for me, 6 for me, 7 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me. Okay, a little bit for Hashem. Rav Lazer Gordon said to this rich fellow, I'm asking you for a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But compared to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, tein lo mishalo, I'm not asking that much. I'm asking for a small percentage. And needless to say, the fellow had a change of heart. Some people are even quicker to give. You don't need Rav Lazer Gordon to teach it to you through a lesson in a Mishnah in Bechoros. And I remember 12 years ago, and the only reason I remember it was 12 years ago is because I actually wrote it down. I was so nispal from this story. It happened to me and my brother-in-law, Olav Shalom Chaim Feigenbaum. It was this time of the year. It was Chodesh Iyar, in the year Tavshin Samaches. And we went, I think it was in Englewood maybe, we went to see the Pittsburgher Rebbe. The Pittsburgher Rebbe from Ashdod. Right? How could there be a Pittsburgher Rebbe in Ashdod? Okay, it's a good Shiloh. Right? It started in Pittsburgh for about 4 decades. And then that was his grandfather. And the third Rebbe currently lives in Ashdod. Became Rebbe in 1990 when his father passed away. So we saw him in the year 2000 and 2008. Tavshin Samaches. And I remember Chaim came out from having a meeting with the Rebbe. And he was just like, you're not going to believe what happened. So I said, what happened? Now, at the time, Chaim and I and my brother and a couple other friends, we had a band, and we were playing some, performances. We had made some money, and I became like the treasurer for the band. So I had some money to divvy up. So I had just given Chaim that on the way to Englewood that night, I had just given him $600. Just given him $600 that, that made from a couple of gigs. So he says, I'm sitting with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says to me, you seem like a really amazing guy. I know this might be a lot to ask. I know you're a young guy. But I want to know if you're willing to sponsor. I run a big yeshiva. I have a whole network in Ashdod. There's about 100 families. And he says to him, I want to know if you're interested in sponsoring a full day of learning. So he says, okay, what does that cost? So he says, $600. So he said, Chaim, right there on the spot. He's like, I have $600 in my pocket right now. I literally just got $600 a moment ago. Now, I don't know if I would have jumped so fast to hand over the $600, but my brother-in-law, Olav Shalom, was a big tzaddik, and he saw the Hashgacha Pratis in that. The Rebbe said $600, and I had just given him $600. Tein lo mishalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu funneled it through me to go to Ashdod, to go to some Jews who are learning Torah in Ashdod. So that's how many learn the Mishnah. Tein lo mishalo means give tzedakah generously, give back, and no matter how much you're going to give, it's always going to be a portion. Even if you gave away half your money, it's still only a portion of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. But of course, other Mefarshim point out, it's not just tzedakah. Because atah she'atah v'shelecha shelo, you and all that you are belongs to Him. Says the Tiferes Yisrael in his commentary on the Mishnayos. Delav dafko b'tzedakah mayri. Let's not box ourselves in. It's not only talking about tzedakah. Elahachi ka'amar. Im chanoncha Hashem shum mailo kawach. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you any ability, any strength, ka'osher, whether it's money, gvura, whether it's physical strength, chachma, whether it's great wisdom, zikaron, if you have an amazing memory, kol na'im, a beautiful voice, v'kidoma, whatever talents you have, whatever skills, whatever gifts you've been given, Hakrivehu LaHashem, give it as an offering to Hashem. Dedicate those energies. If you have a good voice, use it to sing in shul. If you have a lot of money, use it to build Torah and Torah institutions. If you have physical strength, use it. Find a way to lend those muscles and to lend that mind, that intellect, that memory. Use it in a way that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'shtamish bo b'kodesh. And a part of us wants to say, but it's mine. It's my good voice. It's my hard-earned money. It's my strength that I built up at the gym. Right? It's my memory techniques that I use to be able to remember things. But then I remind myself that no, tein lo mishalo, none of it is actually ours. None of it is actually ours. And when we start to take it for granted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remind us, it was never yours. Like we started the story of the Baal HaTanya, Ich bin nisht. Every time I said, I, it's me, I have to say, Ich bin nisht. It was never really mine. There's a very, very powerful medrash in Parshas Emor, which I think is probably the ultimate expression of Tein Lo Mishalo. And the medrash is commenting on a pasuk in Iyov in chapter 41. Iyov says, Mi hikdimani va'ashalem. Hashem is speaking, really. Mi hikdimani va'ashalem. Who preceded me va'ashalem? And I will reward him. I will pay him. Says the Medrash in Parshas Emor, next week's Parsha, Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Rabbi Lazar, Asida Basko Lios Mifotzetes Berosh Harim. In the future of Baskol, a heavenly voice is going to cry out and say, Kol Mishapa'el Imkel, anyone who worked for God, Yavo Vayitol Scharo, come and collect your paycheck. It's time to cash out. Hadahu Dichsiv, this is like the Pasuk says, Ke'es Ye'amer Liyakov Liyisrael, Mi Pa'al Kel, who worked for God? So we're all going to line up. We're going to say, oh, I did this, I did that. And all of a sudden, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as he's about to start writing checks, Hashem says, hold on, just, I want to just make an announcement as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up, Kiviyachol, Ruach HaKodesh Omeres, and Ruach HaKodesh declares, Mi Hikdimani Vashalim. I'm happy to pay, says God, but let me just ask you, who has preceded me, and I will pay them? What does that mean? Says Hashem, let me give you a few examples. Mi Kileis Lefanai Adshol Nasati Lo Neshama. Whoever uttered praises before me before I gave you a soul? A soul, of course, life is what allows us to speak. It's the definition of man. Our ability to be humans, our ability to think and to speak. Mi milel lishmi achalo nasati lo ben zachar. Whoever thought to what? To give his child as a bris milah before I gave him a child. Mi asali maka achalo nasati lo gag. So I commanded you to put a fence on the roof of your house, and it cost you a couple of bucks. That's true, but who gave you the house? Mi osali mezuzah achalo nasati lo bayis. Who put a mezuzah on his doorpost before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the rest of the bayis? Mi osali sukkah achalo nasati lo makom. Whoever built a sukkah until I literally gave him a physical space to build the sukkah? Who made a lulav until I gave him the money to buy the lulav? Who made tzitzis before I gave him clothing? Who left a quarter of his field for the poor before I ever gave him a sada? Who separated truma before I gave him great success in his field? Who separated challah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a nice batch of dough? And whoever separated a carbon before I gave you animals? And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Yikdimani, if you can prove that you did more for me than I did for you, I'm happy to pay you. If I owe you, if at the end of the day, you know, if we add up the cheshbon, and Hashem says, I owe you, I'm happy to pay. But let's just think about it for a second. Who owes who? Who owes who? And yet we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we complain? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to count one for me, two for me, three for me, four for me, five for me, six for me, one for Hashem, Meiser Behema, a little bit. You bring a carbon to Hashem. We're finishing up. We're getting to the end of Chumash Vayikra. We're getting closer and closer to the end. We're done with the karbanos. How did we introduce the karbanos? Adam ki akriv mikem, when a person gives from himself. And Chazal have their drasha. It has to be mikem, that some Jews can bring a karban, not all Jews. If you're a mummer, if you're a heretic, Hashem doesn't want your karban. But you could also say, b'derech machshava, adam ki akriv, when you bring, when you're offering, realize it's mikem. As Chazal say, mikem velo kulchem. It's not just saying that some Jews are eligible for a karban and others are not. But maybe on a deeper level, it's saying, realize that even when you gave, it was mikem, it was from you, it was a portion. But not kulchem. I didn't take everything. I didn't ask you for everything. Tain lo. So yeah, things got a little bit rough the last couple of weeks. Right? And unfortunately, yes, for some people, I'm making light, God forbid, some people lost mamish everything. And they have to figure out how to read a different Maimar Chazal to get them through this, to have a mura and bitachon. And yes, people lost their lives. And seemingly that's giving back everything. But we say it every single day in Shema. B'chol levavcha anotel es nafshecha. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, if Hashem, all your money, if Hashem takes your life, we have to be prepared to give it back. Not that we want to, chas v'shalom, tiftach pel l'satan. But to complain when Hashem asks for a little bit, and it gets a little bit less comfortable than we like it to be. You know, kiviyachol, how hurtful that is to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for us to come with a taina and to complain? The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, that B'nai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It says, U'mosha B'nai Yisrael esher yoshvu b'mitzrayim. Shloshim shana v'arba me'yos shana. 430 years. Right, one place in the Torah says 400. It talks about 210. 430 years is the pasuk in synopsis in Parshas Bo. Perek Yud Beis. The Bnei Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim, b'Mitzrayim, shloshim shana, 430 years. But it was really 210 years. All the Mefarshim are trying to figure it out. The Ksav Sofer writes something very, very strong. The Ksav Sofer says it felt like 400 years. You know why? So we're used to thinking, yeah, because they made us work so hard, so we paid off 400 years or 430 years in 210 years. The Ksav Sofer says, I have a different pshat. The Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chsam Sofer, says, no. The key word in the Pasuk is Umosha b'nei Yisrael, asher yoshvu b'mitzrayim. You know what was so hurtful? You know why it felt like so many more years than it actually was? Because it was so insulting what they did to us. After everything that we did for Mitzrayim, that our man, a Yid, Yosef HaTzadik, saved the whole world and saved their whole economy and got them back on their feet and made them the world power that they are, and then they turn their back on us? After everything that we did for them, this is how they repay us back? If we would have been in other lands, says the Chsav Sofer, it would have been much more manageable. But that the Egyptians, Asher Shalmu Lahem Ra Tachas Tova, to pay back all of our kindness with what? With tainas, with complaints? With affliction and slavery? And again, Alachas Kam Vakama Asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has done so much for us, even now, in these last 6, 7, 8 weeks. All the more so over the course of a lifetime. It's a small portion. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us sometimes in difficult situations. And he asks for a nice chunk back. But just remember how Reb Lazer Gordon taught that Jew how to count Meiser Behema. And remember that Medrash and Parshas Emor. Hashem has given us a lot more than we've given him. I told you we're going to learn 2 Mishnayos tonight. I want to learn one more. Another Mishnah, again, thematically it's the same Yesod. It's a couple of Mishnayos later. Again, in some editions it's Mishnah Tazayin, in some it's Mishnah Chaf. Hu Haya Omer, very similarly. Hakol Nasun Be'eravon. Everything is given on collateral. Umetsuda Prusa Al Kol Achayim. Amazing, a pandemic. And a net is spread over all human beings. There's a certain boat that we're all in. Hachanus Pasucha, the store is open. Vachenvani Makif, and the storekeeper writes on his ledger. Vapinkas Pasuach, Vayad Koseves. Vekol Harotza Lilvos, Yavo Vayilva. If you want to borrow, Hashem is always happy to extend a loan. But realize, you're going to have to pay for it. Vagabayim Machzirim Tadir B'chol Yom. The Gabayim come around collecting. Unifran Min Ha'adam Midaito V'Shalom Midaito. And we pay sometimes when we realize we understand why we're being asked to pay back. And sometimes Shalom Midaito, we get upset. We feel like, Hashem, why are you taking so much back? V'yesh Lehem Amashi Yismechu. But the Gabayim who come collecting, Yesh Din Emes. V'akol Mesukan Lesuda. And everyone's invited, as some of Farshim explained, to the final meal. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through difficulty, we're paying off whatever we owe in order to be able to celebrate when Mashiach comes. Again, I want to share with you the words of the Tiferes Yisrael. What does it mean that everything is given on collateral? Listen to these words, they're unbelievable. Kol ma sheyesh lo la'adam ba'olamo. Anything that we have, anything that we've had for a long time, and we expect to continue to have it, because there's a status quo, there's a chazaka, it's mine. Eino bituach bikiyumo. There's no guarantees that it has to remain by you. Dare nasnum lo b'matana. It was given to you as a gift. Rakadeshim tso davar l'mashkano b'hem. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have as a mortgage against you, to collect collateral against you. Da kol memushkan l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because everything is mortgaged to Hashem. Because we owe Him so much. Hamarich apo. Hashem, who's so patient with His anger. And Hashem, who gives us so many gifts that we don't deserve, with the bitachon in us, that hopefully, with the passage of time, yashuv mechata'av. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I ask to take something back, I'm taking back something that you owe me. And I'm doing it for your own good. And then the Tiferes Yisrael writes something awesome. Listen to this. The Tiferes Yisrael says, and think about it. Think about what you can work on, what you can control, and what you can't control. And maybe we're experiencing it now more than ever. He says, if a person thinks that they can control their health, it's impossible for a person who's a cholet to become better. It's not so easy. It's easier to kill yourself than to sustain yourself. It's easier to remain a fool that to become smart. It's easier to fall and to mess up and to get yourself into trouble than it is to what? To save yourself. But what can we work on? The only thing that we can actually work on, no matter how much we try, we're mishtadl, we think, you know, we amass, and kochivotim yodi, ich, ich, ich. And Hashem says, no, ich bin nisht, ich bin nisht, ich bin nisht. None of it's yours. The only thing that you can be successful on with your efforts is what? Is in ruchnias. Midamunach rak bibchiraso. That's something that's yours to choose. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to choose. And the reason Hashem lets you to control your own fate spiritually, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim, v'zeh mishum shezeh tachliso. The answer is because that's your tachlis. Hashem says, this is what you're here to do. All these other things, they're not really yours. And if you start to think they are, Hashem says, I have no choice but to take them away. And then it hit me today. Who's the author of this Mishnah? I told you, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, everything is a collateral. Everything belongs to Hashem. Everything Hashem collects from you is emistic. You know who the author of this Mishnah is? When I went back to check today, I almost fell off my chair. Who is it? It's a Jew, maybe more than anyone, who worked so hard to build up a dynasty, to build up a world for Hashem, Kvod Shemayim, and had the whole thing taken away from him. And that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the author of this Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva, the one who spent years with embarrassment and diligence and suffering, building an awesome yeshiva, 24,000 students for God. He built it for him. And then the whole thing collapsed. And Rabbi Akiva didn't have tainas. Rabbi Akiva didn't complain. In fact, says the Chida in his Shailos and Tshuvos Tov Ayin, the celebration of Lag BaOmer, the day that the students stopped dying, is a celebration that on that same day that the tragedy came to an end, says the Chida in his Tshuva, V'yom Lag BaOmer hischil l'shanos l'rashbi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi v'chulu. On the day that he was finally stopped mourning his 24,000 students, when the tragedy was finally over, and Rabbi Akiva could have looked at God with so many tainas, so much frustration, so much anger. Hashem, I built this all for you, and you took the whole thing away. You left me with a couple of guys, a handful of Talmidim. But that's not what he did. Says the Chida, on the day that it all ended, on Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Akiva began to teach again, and he began to build again. He taught Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Osi. He started to rebuild his yeshiva, Shetachzor HaTorah, V'lekach Oisin Simcha. And says the Chida, that is the Simcha of Lag BaOmer, which we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks. Rabbi Akiva teaches us, the Talmidim weren't mine, if it wasn't mine, the Torah is not mine, none of it's mine. Hakol nasun be'eiravon. Everything is given to us on collateral. So I'll leave you with the words of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, who spent his whole life writing Svarim, just trying to get the word out that there's a God in the world. He wrote in Halacha, he wrote in Machshava. The Chafetz Chaim wrote so many Svarim. So many different types of Svarim. He wrote a book called Machane Yisrael, for soldiers on the war front. He wrote Svarim about the importance of growing your payas and your beard. He wrote Svarim about Lashon Hara. He wrote the Mishnah Brura. He wrote Avas Chesed. And the Chafetz Chaim was overheard, after dedicating his whole life with tremendous, tremendous effort, trying to do for Hashem. He was overheard one time. He was overheard when he published his Svarim. He was overheard looking up to Shemayim and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what you've done for me. What am I going to do for you? You gave me a Chafetz Chaim. You gave me a Shmiras HaLashon. You gave me a Mishnah Brura. You gave me an Avas Chesed. You gave me a Machane Yisrael. You gave me all these Svarim. And what have I done for you? Why do I deserve to be your conduit, your shaliach, to spread the word of your existence in the world? And the Chafetz Chaim, with tears in his eyes, says, Hashem, I don't think I'll ever be able to repay you for everything that you've done for me. Halavai, we should see it that way. Halavai, we should understand that, yes, for the last couple of weeks, and halavai, it should be over soon. It's been a tough couple of weeks, and Hashem has taken a lot away from everyone. Each of us have lost in different ways, whether it's lost time or lost money or, most importantly, lost life or lost relationships. So much loss that we all feel. But we have to remember, it was never ours to begin with. It never belonged to us. And let's be appreciative for what we do have. And that little portion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to take back from us, let's give it with a smile to the best of our ability. Let's remind ourselves, it doesn't belong to me. It's given to me on collateral. And again, like the Tiferes Yisrael said, it's all for our good. As Rabbi Akiva ends his Mishnah, V'akol misukan l'suda, when it's all over, we'll have paid back our debts. And Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will invite each and every one of us to rejoice together, to forbring together, to sit together, and to enjoy the Suda of Mashiach, b'mher b'yameinu amen. Have an amazing Shabbos. We're bearing with our internet outage before. Nu, tein lo mishalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to take a little break, so we gave it with a smile. Baruch Hashem.